I'm Baron Ron Heron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duva are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11 and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village and Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How was your weekend? You were like jet setting.
I was jet setting. I went to a wedding in Kennebunkport, Massachusetts.
Maine.
The same thing.
Let me help you out.
Same thing.
You flew into Massachusetts.
And what was really interesting, I flew into Logan Airport, and I went to my Uber app, and I asked for an Uber, and 2 minutes later, I was in an Uber going to Kennebunkport, 80 miles away, and the driver didn't complain.
I have to say, you're so hip and young.
I know, I'm really...
Look at technology helping you out.
So, believe it or not, we have guests today. We have...
Tell us about them.
Well, we have... we had a guest once in our almost 3 years here, which was a husband and wife team. If you remember?
I do remember.
Okolali Eyeglass. And Irwin and Sally. Now, we have a husband and wife team today, but they're in different businesses, although there is some crossover. So this is even one step beyond the Okolali visit. We have Nita June Davanzo, who is director of the Dog Star Theater Company here in Santa Barbara. She's also a consultant that helps high school kids go through the web of getting into college as a counselor. We have her husband, Justin Davanzo, who is the owner of Canine Solutions, probably the premier dog training school in the area.
I felt like when he showed up and I got to meet him that he was a celebrity because I've heard so much about him from everybody I know who has a dog.
The problem is he told us to sit when he came in, which I thought was a little bit aggressive.
And you didn't listen anyways.
but here's the punchline. Justin is also an actor. So he gets to act in Dog Star Theater. So this is really a family that is so intertwined that we just have so many things to talk about.
I know. I can't wait to find out what it's like to be acting with your wife directing you.
Well, I've been married for...
Not to give away the question.
But I've been married so long, I've been acting as well.
No. I think what you mean to say is Beryl's been directing.
That's right. That's for sure. So let's start with our articles first today. And the first article from the Wall Street Journal is entitled, Florence Exposes Billions of CAT, C-A-T bonds. And what CAT stands for is catastrophe bonds.
And so, for those of you that are longtime listeners, I'm sure you remember from previous articles about these CAT bonds.
You're rubbing it in because I forgot that. And you're thinking that I brought the article in twice. But it is relevant.
It's
relevant.
Completely relevant.
Right. And these CAT bonds are a way of investors who are searching for yield can invest in something that pays a relatively high yield. Problem is, what they're investing in is a bond that at some level of catastrophe, insurance companies call in the fact that you now own part of that loss.
Well, and that's the reality of it, is the yield looks really great, especially in this historically low interest rate environment that we're in. However, the risk, if you don't fully understand it, it's kind of a double named a bond. It could be catastrophic for you.
And the number is incredible. There is right now roughly $14 billion in outstanding catastrophe bonds that have exposure to North and South Carolina. So it's a really big number. This next article is sort of a companion to that article, or it's totally different. It talks about excessive risk that people may not be aware that they're taking. And what this article talks about are, and these are structured notes where brokers are offering to clients the opportunity to buy FANG stock options. FANGs are, you know, Facebook.
The high growth, the main drivers of S&P growth in the last few years.
Right. And so they offer their clients an opportunity to invest in a derivative that will increase, as they say in their marketing, maybe up to 25% as a way of, you know, leveraging your way of participating in these very attractive stocks.
It's 25% more on the upside?
On the upside. The problem is most of these things have what's called call provisions that automatically come into effect. And what this article talks about is that when the stock goes up, these derivatives get called and the investor loses the ability to stay in. And so what they did in this study is they found that brokers typically make almost 3% and clients make about 2 to 3%, even when the stock goes up.
Well, and they're a proprietary product, these structured notes. And so it really is in the firm that's selling them's best interest. As you pointed out, they're making 3% and the client's lucky to make 2 or 3.
And continuing this theme of silly investments, the article here in the Wall Street Journal is called Unprofitable Growth Stocks Are Soaring. And, you know, when you look at certain companies, performance, you say these companies have really, really done well. Well, what this study has shown is that a significant number of stocks in the Russell 1000 growth index, which has done very, very well this year, most of the stocks don't make any money. They lose money.
I read that. And you know, what's interesting is when you just do the S&P 500 growth companies divided by the S&P 500 value companies, we're at growth is at the same valuation as they were in the roaring 2000s.
So this article is actually one that I think is going to be helpful as opposed to just
negative
articles that we could just talk about crazy investments. And it's called What's a QCD? Okay. And a QCD is a qualified charitable distribution where if you are over 70 and a half, you can donate money out of your IRA or your 401k pre-tax and get the benefit of a deduction without having to pay taxes on the appreciated amount.
Up to your required minimum distribution
amount. Up to your
required
minimum distribution.
And actually, it's not even a deduction. It just is not even counted in your income.
Yeah. So think about it for a second. You contribute to an IRA $1,000 in 1970. It's now worth $2,000. Well, the tax when you take it out on your RMD is on $2,000. It's from because you put it in tax free,
deferred.
You end up tax deferred. You end up with a $2,000 gain. If you give the $2,000 away as a deduction, there's no tax at all. So you get the use of that money pre-tax, even though you put it in pre-tax. So it's really a double benefit. You're looking strangely.
No, I'm not. That's absolutely true. It's it's a double benefit in that you take the tax deduction now, and when you give it away in the future up to your RMD, it you don't even have to claim it on your tax return. Otherwise, it would count as ordinary income.
So,
for you.
Are you 70 and a half?
Not yet.
Okay, because I was going to ask you to give some money to my favorite charity, but you're not 70 and a half yet.
But you are, and you can take advantage of this. And what's good,
what makes you think
positive,
I'm over 70 and a half? Look at my new haircut. Doesn't that look
you're look looking young and dapper.
Thank you.
However, the Tax Reform Act of 2018 made this qualified distribution permanent, which up until this point, Congress every year would play a chicken game until December and decide whether or not they were going to allow retirees the ability to do that or not.
Well, actually, it's even more than that, because under the new tax law, many taxpayers will not itemize and take the standard deduction. So they would lose all of the tax benefit from donating. In this way, they get the benefit.
Exactly.
So it's another plus. And the final article today is one I really enjoyed. It's called What Beyonce and Billionaires Have in Common. And it turns out they're mortgages. And this is an article that...
Well, I think Jay-Z and Beyonce are the highest net worth Hollywood celebrities.
Do you know who Jay-Z is?
I do.
You do? Yeah. See,
I'm 70 and a half. He doesn't sing doo-wop.
No, because I'm 70 and I don't know who Jay-Z is. He's famous, right? He's famous. Well, anyway, so here's the story that I think is really both scary and worrisome, that entertainers, including Beyonce and Jay-Z, as well as hedge fund people like Ken Griffin, are buying these zillion-dollar houses, and I would have thought they paid cash, but they're not paying cash. They're paying with jumbo mortgages. And the reason that they're paying not with cash but with jumbo mortgages is they want to use the money that's you can get from a mortgage only at 3% and invest. And that, to me, is very dangerous. That is, they're not investing in a house and having the equity necessarily be at least a protective asset. They're
right, but they're not mortgaging the whole thing. They're buying $22 million homes or the likes of that number. They are mortgaging it just like every other person has a mortgage on their home, not necessarily because they can't afford to pay for it outright in cash, but two assets are better than one.
Well,
so you own the house with the bank. You get 100% of the appreciation. And you share in the depreciation if it goes under, if you go under, or the equity is upside down.
Jay-Z's house in Bel Air has a $52 million mortgage on it. I wonder what the monthly payment is.
How much is the home worth, though?
Well, what's he take? He takes the money, and he's going to invest it in something.
Right.
Well, that's to me is.
But or yeah. He's going to take income flow from it, or whatever he chooses to do with it. It's just because the number has more zeros than the average person, it doesn't make it a bad investment.
You know what? I don't care what you say. I'm not going to take a $50 million mortgage.
Well, neither am I. But that's beside the point.
So we're right.
Well, I can't afford a $50 million home.
Neither can I.
Let alone, 20% of that.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Ah, the great outdoors. With sunny weather, blooming flowers, and fresh air, many prefer to spend their time outside. If you have Social Security business to tend to, that's no reason to ditch the outdoors. You don't have to wait in an office. You can handle much of your Social Security business from your laptop, wherever you want to be. You can do research, use My Social Security, even apply for benefits online as you sit on the beach. As long as you have an internet connection, you can do business with Social Security. So enjoy the great outdoors. We'll bring the office to you wherever you want to be. Learn more and do more at www.socialsecurity.gov. That web address again is www.socialsecurity.gov.
Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we could be reached at 805-564-1290.
Or at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And Kelly could do Jay-Z's loan, actually, at Cornerstone Mortgage.
It's called a Jumbo Jumbo. That's what it is called. I'm serious. Jumbo Jumbo.
It seemed like a short break because we kept talking about that.
Oh, God.
So let's dig into our guests and talk a little bit about, where you guys are from and how you came to Santa Barbara.
You betcha. I am originally from Boulder, Colorado, but we were living in Santa Monica together for 5 years. And
which is where I'm from, originally.
Yes. And Justin's dad was living up here, and that was the initial draw to come up to Santa Barbara. We'd come and visit and dream.
Well, it's interesting talking about home loans and things like that, because part of the premise was how to get up here and try and find a way into the housing market. And
that's what a lot of Santa Barbarans, you know, new to town, it's sticker shock.
Right. Yeah. And this was in 2012. We started looking for homes up here, and it was sticker shock. But long story short, I used to be in construction for a long time, so I found a home that needed a lot of work. So
a lot.
In any case, my dad was a catalyst in saying, well, let's find a way to creatively put this together so we can figure out how to make this work. And we were able to do something through some stocks that he had as a that would kind of act as the deposit
the
or the collateral. In any case, it was a really awesome opportunity. So,
and then we spent,
that's how we ended up here in 2013.
And I spent the year, I was teaching down in LA full time at a high school, drama and English. And I spent the year sleeping on my friends' couches.
Oh.
And Justin spent the year,
it was a long year,
living with his dad. And I'd come up on the weekends and we'd just start to settle in and like actually be nice to each other Sunday and then be like, bye, head back down. That was a hard year.
Yeah, I was working on that.
It's true, a lot of people breaking into the real estate market and Santa Barbara, it's a big sacrifice, and that was a sacrifice that you two took on to make it work.
And now we're just so thankful and fortunate to be in the market now, which is great. And I start looking around, seeing what's going for there's a house across the street for sale, and I'm just looking at the numbers, going, okay, there's my nest egg that we've got for
us. Right, the equity that you've built up.
Yeah, you could take out a jumbo mortgage now.
Jumbo, I could. Me and Jay-Z were like that.
I like jumbo, jumbo.
So I don't recommend taking a mortgage to invest in the stock market, Neil. But sometimes that's the only way you have in is to come up with the down payment money.
Right.
Doesn't make sense to sell more than you have to.
Right.
So anyways, back to the Davanzos. let's talk a little bit about your companies.
Great.
So now you have Dog Star Theater Company.
Yes. Indeed.
And so how did that get founded and started? And
so we actually met, 2005 in Santa Monica. We were both acting in the same theater company down there. Did a lot of theater. I went back to Boulder. We moved back to Colorado for my graduate degree. I got an MFA in performance, and then we were both doing theater again in Santa Monica. Came up here, not doing much theater for about a year and a half, and then Trump was elected, and I just felt like, why does this bleep get to share his voice and do stuff in the world? And now it's my time. Why are we not creating and sharing things? And it just felt like, rather than joining with another theater company or joining with other things, it just felt like this time to, as artists, and I also felt like as a woman, to establish our theater company and to build community and to build collaborative ties and creative ties. And so our first show was April 2017. Yeah, so we've only been around for a year and a half here in Santa Barbara.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have an upcoming performance.
We
coming
just
up.
Closed. We just closed. We closed Edward Albee's Three Tall Women at Center Stage. And it closed in Broadway in June, and it was awesome. Justin, this was his first show. He was actually not in. He had a silent role. He came on.
I didn't have any
for
lines.
Like
it was great.
20 minutes.
I could show up, spend a little time in the green room and then show up on stage and get all the credit. And it was easy.
It was easy for me to
join. So you just closed.
We did.
So how did it go? How was it received by the community?
It went really well. This was the first time that this is the first play. This is my third that I've directed here. It was heavy. It's one woman on stage with herself, three different ages in her life. She's 26, 52, and 93. And it's about dementia. It's about aging. It's about choices that she's made in her life. And it's heavy. It's what the choices that we made. And how do we look back on things? What does our young self think about how we're going to be old and not wanting to get old? And so it was received very well. A lot of people at the end came out, though, and they were like, wow, that's a lot to think about. Versus the other two were a bit more lighthearted, and their last was
a
comedy.
And I understand Edward Albee doesn't like actors changing his words. So to be a true devotee of Edward Albee, you have to do it exactly as he wrote it.
Right, which
Again, you know, easy for me. I didn't.
Justin aced it. The other actresses, although I didn't direct it that way, you know, I mean, what can you do? You go up online every once in a while.
Right, exactly.
So,
it was an amazing show. And Nita's really the catalyst to the whole theater company because she's got that directorial vision that I don't. I look at it sort of like being if you're an architect and you know how to design something from nothing and know what it's going to look like, that's what she has. So she had the vision to kind of bring this whole thing together, and the show looked fantastic. And all the shows she's done, there's always a point for me where I can't see what's going on, and I'm kind of like a deer in the headlights, and she's going, it looks really good, it looks great, and this is what's going to happen, and just go for the ride.
Do you have to audition?
I've been auditioning my entire 10 long years of auditioning. It's finally paying off.
Clearly you've made the cut. But yeah. What is it He's like to be directed by your wife?
Yes, what is it like to be directed by your
wife? Wait, I can answer that.
Happy wife.
Forget that. That question was for
happy
you.
Wife, happy wife, happy life. Actually, it's been really fun. It's not without its creative headbutting and moments. But knowing kind of what our strengths are is really the key. And trusting that, you know, someone is doing something for a reason and I have some input. And, you know, as an actor, you're not allowed to generally have a ton of input when you're on stage. So
I was going
to
say you probably have a lot more input when she's directing.
Yeah, and oftentimes our rehearsal bleeds over into, you know, we go home at 10:30 at night and we're still going at it about what's working, what's not working. But ultimately, it's really fun because I really trust if I feel like something's not working and she's saying it's working, then it's much easier for me to trust that.
But it's funny. I talk a lot about collaboration in the theater company, but one of my now infamous lines, we were on our way to rehearsal and we were talking, Justin wanted to rehearse this one part. And I was like, no, we're not focusing on that. We need to, and he was like, blah, blah. And I said, there is no you in collaboration.
She was right.
Yeah. I see you collaborate well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
See, I just you're nod my head and I say
you're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press Radio Station. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Leite from American Riviera Bank. Life is complicated. We can't help you with carpooling the kids to soccer practice or restoring all your files when your laptop crashes. But when it comes to banking, we can make your life much easier. With cutting-edge technology, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks only dream of, we deliver smart banking for smart people. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people. In Santa Barbara at Figaro and Anacapa and in Montecito's Upper Village.
You're gonna miss me when I'm famous.
There's a special benefit for Girls Rock Santa Barbara coming up Sunday, September 30th at the Libero Theater. It's a concert called Raise Her Voice. Here's featured performer Sophie Rose.
Raise Her Voice is so important to me, and I'm just so happy to be a part of it. I'm really excited to just perform my songs for the girls. Every time I play at the camps that Girls Rock puts on, I feel so happy and just fulfilled because I see how special these girls are and how much music means to them. So seeing how my music affects the girls that are a part of Girls Rock really just keeps me going and really inspires me too.
You're gonna miss me when I'm
For more information about the Raise Her Voice concert and to get your tickets, go to girlsrocksb.org or call 805-699-5247.
But you're gonna miss me when I'm famous.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. And we can be reached at 805-564-1290. And speaking of that number, we have a caller.
We do. Great.
Hello, caller.
Hello. Hey, I know Justin through Canine Solutions, and I knew that he did theater. Are you planning, Justin, on incorporating dogs into theater?
That's a risky proposal.
Risky business.
It's risky business. But that's kind of why we named the theater company Dogstar, sort of after our dog. So that's about as far as that goes, I think, for now.
So has Apollo had any roles?
He has not. He has been, for our first two shows, he was at every single rehearsal, though.
Yeah.
He did not miss a rehearsal until we got into the theater space. He just slept.
No. Well, and what about the new facility? I'm excited about that and would like to learn more about it.
Yeah. So, well, we've been around in Santa Barbara for the last 5 years, Canine Solutions has, which is I'm a co-owner with my business partner, Eric Smith, and the two of us started in 2014. And we've been slowly kind of growing. We won Best of Santa Barbara for the third year in a row here coming up.
Congratulations.
Which is really exciting. Yeah. And so we've been looking to expand. And so, thanks for asking. The what we've just secured is a really cool ranch up in San Ynez, and it's going to be our new boarding and training facility up there. And we're really excited because it's going to allow us to provide some services that a lot of our clients have been asking for, boarding, daycare, more training programs, and it's going to really allow us to sort of grow. So we'll be in Santa Barbara and in San Ynez. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So we got a lot of work to do up there before we open. We're hoping we'll be operational in January.
Oh, that'd be great.
So there'll be more information coming your way as we kind of make that ready to get it ready to go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So let's talk a little bit about the new facility and what you envision that to be, because at this point, as the baby boomer generation starts to move into retirement, many of whom are getting dogs, but they don't want to give up traveling. And so if
right.
they don't have the means to hire a in-home kind of dog sitter, this is a great
It's challenging in any location, and Santa Barbara has some really great options for daycare and boarding that have been around and are doing great. What ours is it's a little more geared towards training. So we tend to have a slightly different way of working the dogs in our programs and how we allow them to kind of go through their day. So for us right now, most of what we do is one-on-one training with owners and dogs down here in Santa Barbara. And we have...
Some people might think that it's not dog training, it's owner training.
And we don't charge extra for the marital counseling that we do and all of the extras that we have to do. But it is. It's an all-around process, and it really does involve the people, which is great because as trainers, of course, we can get the dogs to do what we need them to do as trainers, but it's getting the people to do that. So that's the fun challenge. And in doing so, one of the programs we have is called a board and train program, where the dogs come to us, and currently we have to board the dogs off-site in another facility, White's Pet Hospital. We contract with them because we don't have the boarding facility down in Santa Barbara. So what this ranch is going to allow us to do is have the boarding facilities already there, which we can then have great quality control, and we can spend the time with the dogs on a 24-hour cycle as they're being trained. And our team of trainers right now, there's four full-time trainers and more coming on board, and we're actually in the middle of hiring a lot of new positions. And so those trainers are going to be working with those dogs on a daily basis. That's a big portion of what we want to start doing more of, and having that property will allow us to really have that opportunity on a large scale. We'll have the facility down here. We'll probably end up shuttling dogs back and forth as we need to, and then working with people in Santa Barbara still.
To be a manicurist in Santa Barbara, you need a license, and it has to be displayed at all times.
Yeah.
To be a dog trainer, do you need a license?
You know, it's an interesting industry. Technically, no. It's not very regulated in that sense. However, we personally have done a lot of work to become certified with other training programs and other professional organizations, but it's challenging because anybody can just roll up and call themselves a dog trainer. So if you're looking for dog trainers, you really need to meet them, understand what their training philosophy is, who they are, what their track record is, and make sure it's a good fit for you and your dog. Otherwise, you can get into a lot of trouble that way and not only lose out on some money, but we've had a couple situations that we've heard of with other trainers that have not served the dog or the owner well. So it's a great question. We have our business license, but that's not relative to the actual professional side of it. So we belong to an International Association of Canine Professionals, IACP, and so we're affiliated with them. So if you go on their website, if you were moving to town and you searched for a dog trainer and you knew you wanted a specific style or type that was a professional accredited trainer, we would show up on that particular website as well.
So with the new facility, I hear oftentimes from many of my clients and friends who have dogs they want to leave them somewhere. Most of these people sleep with their animals, and so they think, well, gosh, I don't want them on the floor as we go away. Mm-hmm. Do you accommodate for that? Or I'm just trying to envision,
yeah.
Do you have all these mattresses? it going to look like?
Truthfully, there's quite a few ways to do it, and everybody's going to have a different version of what works for them. Mm-hmm. We tend to be a little more on the safety first, and so we're probably going to be a little more, at least in the beginning, a little more focused on the dogs being in their own specific crates or kennels, which is a word that a lot of people, they kind of cringe at, but in our world, the right setup gives them a nice break from being along, side with all the other dogs, and gives them a sense of safety and kind of allows the quality of control at night, especially, to be really easy and calm so they can get their rest and sleep and be safe in that manner. So initially, we'll probably have it more controlled. We will probably move to having the option where we'll have more of an open boarding area where some dogs that are appropriate can spend the night together and not have to be in their own crates. But it's going to vary and depend kind of how we grow and how that's going to, facilitate itself.
And can owners bring their, blankets and beds?
Sure.
And all of that jazz?
Yeah, we'll have a lot of opportunities for that. Because I think there's two things that need to be happening. People need to trust the facility and trust the people. And that's a big thing that we've built on, is we have a huge client base that trusts us. So, they'll probably look at us and say, whatever you guys think is going to be good and safe. And then there will be some people that just don't want their dogs to be in a crate. And that's fine. Not everybody. But safety is number one. So for us, it's always about safety first.
So we have dog training. We have acting.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have college counseling.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all the jobs. No one's going to have a job left Santa Barbara.
We're taking over.
So tell us about what you do for our high school students.
Yes. So my business is called Nita June Educational Consulting. I'm college counselor, mentor, a bit of tutoring. It's funny. I, in some ways, feel like I do for kids what Justin does for dogs and the trainers. I'm part therapist. I'm part counselor. I'm part teacher. Part guidance, I'm part just friend. Sometimes I think of myself as like the fairy godmother auntie.
Right. Needed as the guidance counselors per student have. They have so many students that they can't get
Absolutely.
To know each and every student and help them understand what options make most sense.
But you break away. You don't put the kids in cages like the dogs, right? You do break away from.
She does send them to me for obedience.
So what's hysterical is Neil could see kids in cages more than he could see dogs in cages.
It is so funny. Right. No, I don't put them in cages. I help them to break free from their cage, which is usually in their mind of thinking about what they can or cannot do.
So tell us a little bit about that process and how you help kids. So say I call you and I want, my child to have some assistance in their college searches.
Yeah.
Do you help them understand their options? And then also, do you help with the application front?
Yep. So it depends on, of course, when they call me. Many of my parents and students contact me junior year. And so we start kind of with a slow look of, okay, what are your best fits? What are you thinking about? So many students these days have no idea what they want to do. And that's totally fine. So we look more at, what is the location do you want to be at? Who are your friends? What is going to be the right fit for you in a community? Others know exactly what they want to do. And so, there's a lining them up with specific programs and scholarships and different support for them to be able to get into those things. So there's a little bit of pre-planning, you know, especially junior year prior to, okay, you don't have this on your transcript, oh, you don't have this community service, or you don't have this job, let's do that so that you can have more options.
So what's the right age for somebody to come to you in the college process?
Definitely junior year is the best. Senior year is totally fine, but there's more.
A little
you
late.
Know, it's a rush. It's a rush senior year.
Well,
yeah,
it's hard to correct the things that you're missing if you come 2 months before.
Yeah.
The applications are due. Because aren't they due? When are applications due?
The first ones are due early October.
Oh, wow.
If you're applying early decision or early action for most schools. And then the UCs open up November 1st, close November 30th. And then it just kind of goes from there. A lot of the state schools actually don't even close their applications until, like, some even in May of next year.
So it sounds like you help with the application process, mm-hmm. kind of screening them, figuring mm-hmm. out what's a good fit.
Right.
Do you help throughout the process in terms of, do you help them with the FAFSA forms and all of that?
Yep. So in giving guidance to the students on all the forms and just like those little questions, a lot of it too has been parents just saying, I don't want to be the one who has to say, like, are you on it? When's your deadline? When's your due? So it's organization, it's time management. But certainly in terms of just, there's a lot of funky or just unclear questions on all of these applications that you really just want someone there who you can even text. And, you know, right. We sit down. I usually sit down at least once a week with my students.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. We'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-10-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
And if you're just joining us, we have Nita Davanzo and Justin Davanzo, both having a very interesting story, the two of you, separate but also together. It's great. So before the break, we were talking about college counseling that you do, Nina. And so what is the appropriate time now for juniors mm-hmm. to really reach out to you and figure out what their options are?
Yeah. Yeah. And just giving it, I think so much of my work too is taking the stress out of it, especially if you start junior year. You have time to plan and vision. We can start working on essays and life experiences of what you think you might even want to write about, because a huge piece of it is the essay.
And you can start violin lessons, right?
at that point, if you need to add it to your resume,
good on your
you could. You could. I also, though, so I mean, it's an interesting point you make of, you know, there's just like throwing things on there because you think it's going to look good versus what are you kind of doing on the side that's really, you know, that you, like it's better to continue in one thing versus have, well, I was part of the knitting club for 2 weeks and then I jumped onto the volleyball.
Well, and
blah,
part
blah,
of
blah,
it
blah,
is
know.
What are your passions?
Right.
Because that's what
right.
you, that's what the school's looking at is yep. who you are and yep. what's defining you as a yeah. person as opposed to, you know, just having violin because you
right.
think it's going
right.
to sound good on
yeah.
your application.
And I love that you bring up that word yeah. passion too, because I feel like in terms of like what I'm passionate about, I feel so honored and just full of joy that I get to do this for my work. Like I go to my students and I'm helping them figure out their life path and their dreams and really feel like that they have a voice and that they're okay in the world because there's so much fear around it.
So a good part of the job isn't getting them into college as much as it is, if you're doing a good job, is helping them really find the right path.
Yep.
So you're
yep,
actually another
you're
job.
You're setting the trajectory of their lives.
Right.
So you're
right.
actually a therapist also.
I do feel like that
we
a
have
lot.
A lot of jobs here. I mean, now you're going to tell me you're also an acting coach too. Is
that I am. Well, director.
You're not leaving any jobs left open.
I think there's still a lot. You guys have the whole financial world in. Thank you for that, by the way.
So let's transition a little bit back to Canine Solutions and talking a little bit about your philosophy, Justin. Your motto is stay calm and be assertive. Where does that come from and help us understand what that better means?
I think it comes from being married, isn't it? Stay calm, being assertive.
I'm Italian-Irish. It's very difficult for me to
I know.
Calm.
Is it just to remind yourself as
yeah,
an Italian-Irish?
I have to look at my own.
No, our marriage
that,
mantra
so
is happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Keep
oh,
calm,
mine too.
It's mine is keep calm, my wife is assertive. Keep calm, my wife is assertive. But there is a huge element of what we do as trainers that is energetic for sure. And if you know, dogs are amazing and they are so good at calling you out on what your true energy and intention is. And I always try to be as, when I'm working with these guys, as calm as I can be. And then you have to step into a leadership role, which is the assertiveness. And you have to do it in a way that's genuine, because if it's fake, it's also not going to work. And what I find really to be fascinating with this is if you, I tell my clients, you have to lead before you love, because most people come and say, how about I love my dog, but their behavior is horrible.
Sounds like child rearing to me.
It's very much so. As a matter of fact, yeah. I went back to school for child development and psychology because it's so similar. And I really wanted to be able to relate to that idea for people so that they could say, well, there is some truth to that, right? But it is a dog. So at some point, you have to step across that boundary a little. So what's interesting is if you come into it with a frenetic energy or you're saying or doing too much or you're not focused on the dog, that's what you're going to get back in kind. And so if someone says, yeah, but I love my dog and we do all these things, but they can't be calm, the dog's never calm. And a lot of times the dogs are overstimulated. They've never been shown a way to go through the world safely and calmly in a way that they can trust somebody to lead them through. So you have to lead them first, and dogs respond to and respect leadership. And this is not anything that ever has to do with heavy-handed alpha roles. You know, there's a lot of people get confused about that. We're very much about show the dog that you're someone that they can trust and respect. Advocate for your dog. It's just like people. They want to be safe and loved. It's the same. It's very much like a therapy. So if you can bring that dog along with you in that sense and have them look at you that way, they're going to love you more in terms of what we think love should feel like from a dog. And in turn, you're going to be able to do more and have more of a relationship with the dog. So if you're not calm and assertive, you're not leading and you're not showing the dog that you can be. And the dog's not going to look at you as somebody that can lead. They're going to do the things that dogs do if they think that they don't have a leader, which is they're going to step up and make their own decisions. And they oftentimes don't have the right facilities to make the right decisions in our world. So we have to show them the right way and be consistent. So by being calm and assertive, it just levels things out. And so sometimes I'll tell clients, just spend a day not saying anything to your dog and not giving them too much. Just be in your world with the dog and find out what happens and see if it changes anything. And oftentimes the dogs will settle and be more focused on your energy in that sense.
You know, when I saw over the years, Caesar's show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw your logo that had the word assertive. It was a little bit off-putting. But I have to say, your approach is very kind. No, it's a very kind. It's not like his approach, which I thought sort of overly disciplinary. And even if it were the right thing to do, most people couldn't do it.
Right.
Because it's not in their character. So your approach is assertive in a very positive way, almost or very close to a child. It's not nasty at all,
right?
Which I think distinguishes how you approach your skill, your
right.
your job.
And that's an accurate assessment, because we're just trying to give them a sense of how to succeed in the world. And if you don't have some sort of boundaries and understanding of manners and, I mean, just like people on some level, then they're going to fail.
It's a lot like child rearing.
It's a lot like
especially
child
rearing. With, about that a lot. You know, the 0 to 4 subset of people.
It's exactly right.
And that's really what the kids want,
yep.
just as well as yep. as the
what
dogs.
What do you think of the idea of having him go to Congress and have him do some training of this?
Hey, I'll be glad to do that.
Do you sure. think that would be helpful? I don't know.
I can't even say anything to that. You know, it would be sad because it would kind of set Justin up for failure. He's yeah. used to success yeah. with people and their
oh,
dogs.
Boy. Yeah.
Well, I think on that note, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and believe it or not, we'll be back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
This is the place that talks about Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara's astronomical unit.
Community Matters, Radio Real Estate,
Money Talk,
The Andy Caldwell Show,
Santa Barbara Team Sports Radio Show,
Golf Radio Show,
Community Alert,
Mortgage Matters.
Welcome to the Voices.
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 Voices of Santa Barbara.
The CEO Report.
Bahar Presents About Education.
Farm to Table Hour.
Welcome to Around the World.
The Jeremiah Show.
History Friday.
The Art and Antiques Radio Show.
Garden Gossip.
Cook and Fork Radio.
Tell Me Your Story.
KZSB. AM 1290.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Justin, tell us a little bit about the pack walks that you organize, because I hear a lot of people going, and their main concern for their dogs is they're great with people, but when they get around to their dogs, they turn into either really aggressive
right.
or
right.
How do you work the pack walks? And if someone who's listening is interested, how would they go about getting involved?
Yeah, great question. So the pack walks we've been doing, we've done probably 160 of them now. We do them on Saturdays. Initially, Eric and I started them for our 4 or 5 years ago, small client base. So we used to have 8 or 9 people show up. Now it's not unusual on a Saturday that we have 25 to 35 dogs, and then more people than that because we have couples and people showing up. The whole premise behind the pack walk is it's a very structured shared environment. When you show up with your dog, all the dogs are in their own little space, but we get all the dogs walking and working together in a large pack. And the reason we do this is to help the dogs, and especially many of the dogs that have leash reactivity, which is kind of what you're talking about, where dog can be fine, but you get them on a walk and they're on the leash and they start going crazy and they're reacting and, you know, whatever they're going to do, they're jumping all over and barking. So we get them in a mindset that they can be around this many people, this many dogs, stay calm, walk right next to another dog for 2-3 miles at a stretch, and we do exercises where we stop all the dogs, put them in downstays, have dogs walking in and out in between. And so what it does is it helps the dog generalize the idea. We call it generalized behavior, where the dog starts thinking, oh, well, all these dogs are fine, and they're around the right dogs, and so they're not getting the reaction that they're used to getting. And so then they start to take that over time and just go out in the world and feel the same way when they get around other dogs. More importantly, the big part of it is that the owners, the handlers, then get the confidence and the ability to be around that level of challenge and distraction. I have a lot of clients that are deathly afraid of doing that walk initially with their dog because they've had nothing but horrible experiences. And it gives me, I just get really excited about it because people will come off of that and be so high and excited that they were able to do it and that their dog didn't, you know, attack something or somebody or bark or whatever it was. And it's a really, really neat process. We have a dog, Buster, who's been on that probably 110 times. And when we first started training Buster, he's a pit bull, he had killed another dog in Seattle, I think. And they actually had moved out of Seattle to you know, deal with that situation. He's one of the best dogs in the entire pack walk. And so the transformations on the pack walk are incredible.
I got to say, I'm not sure that that should be how you get people in because I just heard pit bull kills another dog.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
So, not going to be going there.
Yeah, the perception is all these pit bulls and all these dogs out there, you know, so you have to experience that in a different light to get some of that, you know, understanding that they're not all out to get you. And
so what would be a tip for the dog's handlers if you find yourself in a situation where you're at the beach and you're with your dog and then another dog just comes out of the blue and starts attacking your dog?
It's really difficult. We have a whole write-up on how to break up a dog fight because it's very easy to get bit. You know, you have to be very aware of who your dog is, what they're capable of, what the environment is. And unfortunately and fortunately, Santa Barbara is a great place to have a dog, but it presents a lot of challenges. There's just about anywhere you go, there's going to be off-leash dogs, including State Street. And I see it and run into it all the time. So each situation is going to be different. If there is a dog fight, you need to be very careful with that. To be specific, you don't, if you can help it, you don't want to reach in and grab either dog because you're probably going to get bit. The best thing you can do is just recognize what risks you're taking in each environment. Just like getting in your car and driving down the street, we're accepting the risk. If you want to go off leash to anywhere in Santa Barbara, just know that there's the risk of those things happening. But if you don't have control of your dog and your dog isn't capable of it, you're already in trouble.
Right.
So you have to be aware of all that. And strategy is really important.
And if somebody wants to join you on one of those pack walks, how would they get in touch with you?
So we do a special pack walk evaluation. If you feel like your dog would be a good fit, it's an hour long. We bring you in, we talk to you, we find out if it's going to be a good fit. And then if it seems like it's safe and the dog is able to do it without being a client that we have to train, we'll give you the go ahead. If we feel like there's some...
So they're pre-screened.
They're pre-screened. Probably 95% of the people on the pack walk are clients and are
so trained. So to get in touch with you, you have a very robust website.
Yes.
Which is?
www.caninesolutions.com, and it's K-N-I-N-E solutions.com.
Anita, if we wanted to get in touch with you for the 12 jobs that you have, let's start with college consulting.
So for my college counseling and educational consultant, it is www.nitajune.com. That's N-I-T-A-J-U-N-E.com. And our theater company, our website is dogstartheater.org. And that's dogstartheater. The American spelling of
the
theater.
The American spelling. Yes. Okay, great.
Okay. And for those of you that want to go to acting school, that's the same number.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And so how often do you run the acting workshops? Do you do one-on-one consultations?
I do one-on-one, and I also have acting workshops about twice a year.
And thank you for asking a question at the end of the show, Diane.
I'm always good for that.
We have 20 seconds left. Nita, thank you so much. Justin, thank you so much.
Thank you
for all you do. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you next week.